Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 28th. Joining us this morning, the guy from the swamp with a voice, Victor Aguilar. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Which implies he, Paul, doesn't have much of one.
Yeah.
He would sound more froggish than he would.
Yeah, he's kind of got that cross between a frog and the telephone operator that you call late into the night. Am I saying too much?
So a froggy Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, and apparently it's legit. You know, he came into my office the other day, and I thought...
Gave you sign language?
Yeah. Where's that coming from? I turned around, and it was Paul there behind me.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sure he'll attempt to defend his honor next month.
Yeah, don't get laryngitis next month, Paul.
That's right. Our why do they say that for this morning is, how did addled come to mean a person lacking in wit? Any idea, Victor?
Addled?
Addled.
Is the word dull in there somewhere?
No. Well, no, there's no U in there.
No. Unknown.
Addle comes from the Anglo-Saxon word for filth.
Of course
it does. An addled egg is a rotten egg, one which will not hatch and so perform its natural function. From an addled egg, we get the idea of a person who is unable to perform his normal functions as being addled.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully no one calls me addled today.
Though. Yeah, or adult. Let's see, where's adult? Oh, no, I guess that must be a derivative of addled. Oh, gee. With some of the goofy stuff that's going on in the news, the officer shootings.
Uh-huh.
Now, firemen. You know,
I heard about that.
Goofball in
Long Beach. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen any change in folks' interest in having a career in law enforcement, specifically, obviously, in the CHP? But are you getting any kind of ripples on some of that kind of stuff, or is it more of an overall sense?
You know, locally, because I do the backgrounds and recruitment locally here in Humboldt, I personally have not seen that. I haven't heard people making comments in some of our conference calls throughout the state. You know, my sense is that some of those things, and this isn't to diminish anybody's passing away or the shootings, but you know, they're oftentimes singular events that are brought to the forefront via news and you know, all these people passing along the story. When in reality, and this is my opinion, there's so much more news out there that is positive, that doesn't involve violence or somebody dying, and that just kind of gets, you know, muddled into the gray background oftentimes. And so I think, and I like to think, that the people that we attract to this career are just inherently people that want to help and make things better and aren't going to be influenced by, let's say, a news story or an event like a shooting or somebody, you know, caught on a YouTube video, which might show something poor about the career path they've chosen, right? It could be a teacher, it could be an officer, it could be an artist, it could be any number of things. But currently, you know, there's a lot of focus on law enforcement. And so, again, the people that we seem to attract into this career field, they're not hampered by those things.
I thought you might say poison, but that's okay. How different is law enforcement from military? And is one a good career path to blend across to the other?
You know, so before I answer, I had nothing to do with military. I was not prior military. My dad was in the Navy during Vietnam, and then my grandfather was in the Army during World War II. Apparently, I stopped the tradition. But I have worked with a lot of people who were prior military, and most of those people were absolutely wonderful officers in that they already kind of had those skills where they were able to kind of, you know, figure out what's important, what's not important, or what might be, you know, secondary. Almost like that triage mindset where they can put things in a type of hierarchy to make really good decisions, right? And then also not to let things affect them, right? Like, for example, I know when I first came on the job, when people would call me pig or, you know, make comments about my skin color, you know, I'm Hispanic, and it really got to me initially. And I know some other people had the ability to just kind of let that slough off. And a lot of those people were prior military. It wasn't that they were dehumanized or they were callous. It's just that they had that skill set they had learned largely in the military to kind of, again, put things in a hierarchy where they realize a racist word or word like pig or whatever, they're just words, right? And I guess to some level, they can only affect you if you let them. And so I noticed that about a lot of my prior military fellow officers. I will say that we get a degree of past military people. Of course, the Marines, they always say they're still Marines, even if they're not actively serving, right?
It was the facial expression that you had when you shared that.
Well, you know, and that I've been trained to do that because when I ask people, oh, so you're a former Marine, I'm still a Marine, sir. Okay, fine with me. The Marines and we get them from all branches. But sometimes it's an easier segue into law enforcement just because they understand structure. They understand kind of that where your time is dictated, you know, be here at this time, do this, do it to completion, do it to this standard. They kind of already understand that, where people like me we had to learn that sometimes the hard way, through repeating certain things or maybe learning from things called mistakes.
The school of hard knocks.
The school of hard knocks.
Picking up your teeth. All the delightful references that are out there. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Victor Aguilar from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Division. Victor, when you were talking about the military folks and the skill sets that they can bring to law enforcement, I would imagine one of the challenges of a newer employee is management of adrenaline.
Yeah.
Not letting it get too high, or you know, get too depleted. Also, just kind of right. Keep that middleness about it. Is that why some guys hide behind, and gals hide behind, cop face?
You know, the thing about adrenaline, it's the human body giving you what you need in the moment, right? But sometimes, if in a high stress situation, law enforcement maybe, or military, or certainly some other things. There comes a point where you don't want it to be dictating your moves. And that can be a tricky thing. I know in law enforcement, again, speaking from my own experience, where you try not to let the adrenaline be the shot caller. Recognize that it's there. And then also realize that afterwards you're going to have a bit of a, you know, if you when you have a high, then there's going to be a low. And recognizing that. And because some of the military people, especially, in recent years, now that we're, I guess, technically post-war time and we're having people come back and getting into the job market here in country, we see people that are, again, kind of pre-equipped with those things because they've dealt with some very, very high-stress situations. And through experience and training, they've kind of developed that ability to mitigate the circumstance, even knowing that things like adrenaline are going to be in the equation. Yeah, we do see that. And then, we're all human beings. I've said this before on your show. We hire from these things called human beings, and we're all very, very different, and we were raised differently, and we have these skill sets that we bring to the table that other people may not have. And so, yeah, like you mentioned the cop face, and I'll tell you what, for a while, that was, so there were some situations where that I felt that's all I had earlier in my career, when I either didn't know or wasn't well-versed on policy, or it was a new situation that I was experiencing for the first time. And I'll tell you what, working in the Bay Area, there was there were so many firsts for me that, yeah, oftentimes there was kind of like probably somebody looking at me from, you know, wherever they were would think cop face, or, you know, they're trying to stone face me.
Well, yeah, the mirrored glasses and the lack of reaction.
And I'll be honest, for my part, that's kind of what it was. It was me thinking, what do I do? What do I do? What should I say next? You know, and trying to figure out that.
Thinking instead of doing, so
thinking,
to speak.
Right, yeah. And, you know, obviously we're taught that you should think before you act, even if, you know, especially if you do have some time and distance on your side. And so oftentimes, yeah, that's what people see, is they and there's so much so that they made a term for it, cop face, right? Poker face, or whatever else you want to refer to it. Yeah, that's a real thing. And it's because we're human beings, we're trying sometimes to work things out. Sometimes there's multiple answers to a situation. Sometimes there might be just a few, and you have to figure out in a relatively short amount of time, what is your best option here? Right? What can you legally do or say to this person? And then you're simultaneously trying to do all these other things, like figure out why are we here? What brought us together, right? What is this person motivated by? Are they committing a crime, or are they just acting suspicious? Are they nervous? Are they just having a bad day? Is this the first time they've encountered a police officer? You just don't know. There's so many variables. And so sometimes, yes, in the moment, the cop face comes out, and that's what people see. And behind that cop face, there could be a million things going on.
Well, it obviously is a tool.
It could be used
to be
as
able
a
to
tool.
Do that, you know, either to buy time or whatever. Also, but it's just it's intriguing. I think how people will stereotype others, but then when you profile. It's kind of coming back in the other direction, and people go off the deep end, or some people will.
Some people will,
and it's like it's the same thing. It's just, are you doing, or is it being done to you? And yeah, I would imagine if there are certain vehicles in Humboldt County that draw higher attention from law enforcement than others.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that profiling? Well, yeah. Is it experience? Absolutely.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
Right. Yeah. You know, and
but
you know,
having the mental ability to delineate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we all have like implicit bias. We all have our own biases, and some of those are learned biases. You know, if you encounter, let's say, 50 pickup trucks that have, I don't know, let's just pick something crazy, black bumpers and all white tires. And out of those 50 experiences, there's been a common denominator or common ending. Then, yeah, you might...
47 of them have open containers in the back seat.
Correct.
So to speak.
Right, right. And so next time you see the white tires and the black bumper, you're naturally, your mind is going to go there because we like that comfortable space of like thinking that we know what's going on. Right?
Or at least you know what to anticipate.
Yeah,
based on,
exactly.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a natural thing. It's
kind of like red Lamborghinis going 25 miles an hour in a 50.
Kind of like that.
What is going on
just
here?
Like that.
And there's a story. What's going on here? Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. I'd like the Lamborghini just because I can't fit in one. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Victor Aguilar from the California Highway Patrol. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Victor, in considering some of the different challenges that there are for those who get into law enforcement, California Highway Patrol being one of those areas, what is the ideal candidate? Wow. Not for post, not for the academy, but just what is the profile? If you could have five people that would hit this profile in Humboldt County, jobs are filled.
Yeah,
what do they look like? What do they do? What do they bring to the table?
Well, without sounding like I'm giving too much of the company line here, they would look like California. And what does California look like? God, we are amazingly diverse.
Trees to Birkenstocks.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much diversity here. And we as a law enforcement agency, because we're a statewide agency, to be in a position to serve all those people, we have to reflect that diversity.
Do they do that with the assignments?
No, they don't. They do not. Because,
so it's big picture, but yeah. How it might be in Alturas. More of a crapshoot.
Yeah, you know, okay. And just to speak to that point really quickly, it's not like we send you purposely to your comfort zone, or if you are, let's say you're in the Hmong community, we're not going to purposely seek out the Hmong community, especially at least initially, to say, well, we're going to pair this person with this community because they're part of that community. There's a great thing with experiencing new and unknown things. Like, for example, when I went to the Bay Area out of the academy, I'm a Southern California person. The speed.
So fog is a concept that you had to become accustomed to?
Yeah, exactly. And the people are there. They may look similar to Southern California, but they act differently. They, you know, different. The culture is a little bit differently. And it's not something you can really pinpoint or maybe write on a piece of paper. It's just this thing that you feel. You know you're in a different place, although we're all Californians. So for me, for our agency, we're not looking for people who are sharpshooters, people that know how to do hand-to-hand combat, people who are trained negotiators. Those things are very, very secondary to some very basic things that we are looking for. We are looking for people that have common sense. We are looking for people that know how to follow directions. And we are looking for people that have the desire to help out other human beings. And beyond that, the rest is things that we train you, right? We give you the rest. But those three main things, those very paramount and pinnacle things, the common sense, the ability to follow directions, and then the desire to help people. If you come pre-equipped with those three things, the rest we can give to you. We really, really can. And in saying that, essentially what I'm saying is there's a lot of just regular, normal people that can do this job. Absolutely, they can do this job.
So what's the biggest perceived, real or imagined, hurdle that people have?
You know, and there again, it's different for everybody. It really, really is. You know, for me, when I went into the CHP, the regimentation, it was absolutely difficult for me just to be regimented as far as like, this is what you're going to be wearing. And I'm speaking more specifically towards academy life, in that everybody wore the same uniform. We woke up at the same time. We ate the same food. We all worked out at the same time.
So some of the paramilitary aspects of the
Yes,
job.
That yeah. was super hard for me. And some people, you get in there and they're there, oh, it's like coming home. Like my roommate in the academy, he is a Marine.
Almost stepped right into it.
I almost said it again. Yep. I almost said it again. And his last name was Aguilar, too. His academy experience was very different than mine, even though it was the same experience, right? And the same thing kind of translates into your first assignment as a CHP officer. You may be from Humboldt, but if you get sent to San Diego, if you get sent to Santa Barbara or Barstow, or you know somewhere else that your acclimation levels aren't there yet, that can be a wonderful thing. Just like it was for me, I look back now at my first assignment in the Bay Area as the absolute most fun I've ever had on this job. And at first, I was very disappointed when they told me I was going to Hayward, California. And I looked up in a map and realized... Now,
we understand that.
But now Hayward, to me, is very, very near and dear to my heart. It really, really is, because I have an attachment to it. I learned the speed of the people that I encountered, and you know their language, their customs, and what they did. And just, it was really a lesson in just how diverse California is, and how I, as a California Highway Patrol officer, representing the state of California, has to really be open to new ideas, thinking outside of the box, thinking inside of the box, thinking on top of the box, under the box. You know what I mean?
What is a box?
What is a
box?
Who
stole my box?
Where is the box? How did I get in this box?
Yeah. How do I get out of the box? Yeah.
Right.
So some of those challenges, I would think that it would be that there would be a break-in, a transition period. Yeah, you know, take your Humboldt County kid, throw him out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
Yeah. You know, sleeping is going to be a major issue.
Oh yeah.
I mean, some of the really basic things that mm-hmm. are that lead to job performance.
Yeah.
That aren't, or let's say, you know, you get dropped into the East Bay. Mm-hmm. Well, who can afford to live there? Well, now you're having to factor in commutes also.
Yeah.
In addition to, and you're not really part of the community, but you're part of the community when you're being paid to be.
Right. I
mean, some of those things that are. Would be foreign for folks from smaller communities throughout the state.
Absolutely.
Are now part of the reality set.
Yeah.
6 months, a year and a half, how long before things kind of settle for the first assignments?
Yeah, it's different for everybody. It took me several months. It really did. Several months. And then, you know, I can only imagine somebody, and we do get these people who've never been south of Mendocino County, ever. And then they think it's a big deal that, oh, I went to Brookings once, right? I mean, you know, that's great, more power to those people, but there's a huge world out there. There's a landscape that oftentimes they just don't know anything about. And that newness of that, yeah, it can be kind of scary at times.
Yeah, it can right? be daunting as well as exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and your perception and your willingness to embrace that, really it does affect that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new non-stop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back to talk shop this morning with Victor Aguilar from the CHP. So if somebody has an interest, Victor, in a career, either as a mm-hmm. change of career or if they're younger and this might be the career, mm-hmm. how do they know? I mean, if there's not that internal calling saying you're going to be a cop,
right?
Like somebody might get the calling you're going to be a priest.
Yeah.
How do you investigate?
Well, you know, for us, and this kind of is the company line here, we have a website that kind of gives you some information on the jobs that are available. It's chpcareers.com. And that's an excellent, actually, starting point to start, you know, investigating, like, can I do this job? Do I even want to do this job?
Or what are the jobs available?
What are jobs?
There's probably more than just driving a car around, stopping people during the day.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know... uniform personnel positions. Yeah, we have officer, and then it goes from there. But there's also other jobs. There's dispatching jobs. They're just like every office has the mechanic that works on our patrol vehicles. We have like office technicians and things like that, right? Things that would make any, I guess, normal business work. We have the same things. It's just that you're a state employee. But specifically towards like the uniform side of things, yeah, admittedly, this job probably isn't for everybody. Now, at the same time, I'll say there's a wide array of people that can do this job and do it very, very well. And some of them might not be the people that maybe you and I would traditionally think are the people cut out for this career. And, you know, I fall into that category myself. Never really wanted to be law enforcement, and came of it by way of the fact that my father was hit by a drunk driver. That was the initial catalyst, the segue that got me into the CHP. Here I am 17 years later thinking,
and wow, dad's okay?
Dad's mostly all right. He's still disabled, but he's alive. And I'm here 17 years later, still love my job.
And being a media celebrity, don't forget that part. See everybody tomorrow.